from your hostess with the mostest, Lauren Hines.
This is I Did It My Way, the podcast that brings you into the story of leading entrepreneurs and tastemakers.
Nicole Gallup founded Palonki in 2012 with the mission to develop a secure platform for entertainers to manage their day-to-day business professionally. Graduating from the University of Richmond, Nicole dove right into the world of IT and network security, realizing her true passion while she was working overseas, music. As a DJ herself, many may know her as DJ Nicola. Nicole learned the hard way that sometimes the entertainment industry does not give its artists fair representation in the business world. On the same end, event planners need a secure system in place for booking their entertainment, holding both sides accountable. Combining her music and tech background, Nicole created Palonki, an entertainment marketplace that makes it easier and safer for performers to promote and run their biz and for event planners to book top talent easily.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another installment of I Did It My Way, the podcast that brings you into the journey of leading entrepreneurs and tastemakers. Today, I am so thrilled to be able to welcome an old friend from the DC area and someone who really has led the way and created really a lot of profits for fellow professionals in the industry. My name is Lauren Hines, of course, your hostess. And today we're joined by none other than Nicole Gallup of Palonki and DJ Nicola fame. Hey, Nick, welcome to the call today.
Hey, girl. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to really just chat with our group today and impart some of your story with us as well.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So a little background, everybody. I met Nicole, gosh, was it 2013 or 14 years ago? And we were both at a tech event, which was interesting because we were both event professionals at a tech event. And so we were kind of the unicorns in the room, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we found each other at the end and we were just chatting. I was speaking about Get One for Less and Nicole was there. Really, as she was about to launch, we're going to beta mode, right, for Palonki, and so, which you guys will hear about in a second, and so we just connected right at that point, and it's so great to find someone who has just a genuine heart to bond and to connect and really help other people, and that's kind of who Nicole is all about. You guys will get to be able to hear more about her. You've heard her bio, and you'll be able to get to know her a little bit more today, so Nicole, welcome. I would love for us to chat a little bit, I guess, about background, because I don't know if you and I ever talked about, you know, upbringing and where you came from and what made you the wonderful person you are, or who made you the wonderful person you are. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your background and where you're from?
Sure. Yeah, I was born in New York, spent a little bit of time there, and then I moved to Richmond, Virginia. And my mother is she was a really well-known musician, a rock guitarist.
Ah, that makes sense.
And she's been all over the world, which is where I got my music, you know, like, inspirations from. But then I moved to Richmond, Virginia, and I kind of grew up there. I grew up really nerdy, actually pretty dorky. A lot of the kids would make fun of me all the time. But actually, I think it's good because it kept me humble and it kept me really appreciative and always kind to people. So I'm kind of, you know, glad for that experience. And then, you know, I went to college in Richmond, and then I spent some time in Germany, 3 years, and then Italy, and then I moved to DC.
What brought you to Germany and Italy? Because I remember
school and a past relationship. So I had, studied at University of Maryland, European Division, and I was the Dean's assistant. And I started my college career over there, and I, you know, started learning about computers, believe it or not. That's my background in information systems and cybersecurity. And then I finished my degree in Richmond after Germany. I came and got my associate's in Maryland and my bachelor's in Richmond.
So growing up with your mom being like a major rock star, did you ever go to her shows or actually participate in any of the, I'm not sure if it was G-rated or not, but you know, I'm curious how that impacted you.
Yeah, she snuck me in. I always looked older as a kid. So she would sneak me in, like, in the Greenwich Village. She'd play at CBGBs, at the Ritz, at all different places in New York. And I would get to sneak in and watch her play, which was so inspiring because she was a badass.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. So going into Germany now and studying computer science, that kind of makes a lot of sense to me as to why you ended up going into the tech world. So you come back, you finished schooling in Richmond. What kind of got you doing music? How did you end up going along that path, you know?
So because of my mother, you know, I had such, you know, inspiration in music, and I actually tried to be in a few different rock bands.
Ah.
And I just didn't feel comfortable with it. Well, first of all, I couldn't sing. So I got
oh, darn.
Yeah. And the second thing is, I just didn't feel like rock music was like in my soul. But when I spent time in Germany, I found electronic music, and I found, you know, computerized sounds. And then all of a sudden I felt it in my soul. And that's when it started to change my life. And I started to know that I didn't want to like party or anything. I just kind of wanted to be a part of the music. So I started to try and figure out how to make the music. And it was really difficult, and I couldn't do it very well. So I found a mentor who was a DJ and a producer, and he had told me that by DJing, it really helped him to produce music because he would understand the theory, the concept, and what makes people move. So that's when I started my first DJ classes in New York, and it changed my life.
Wow. So, okay, that happened. With Richmond to New York, what was the transition?
So New York, I just went to school. I still have family in New York. Just like a really quick stint in a couple of DJ classes, just learning the basics. I mean, I think I took it for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just had to take it home and practice and practice and practice and practice.
Yeah. Yeah. How was it getting your first gig? What was that like?
Well, my first gig was in Richmond, Virginia. And I have, you know, so many beautiful friends from Richmond that were really supportive. And they did this annual Christmas party. And because they all loved me so much, they said, "We want you to DJ." And I was terrible. I was still pretty bad. And I was like playing trance music in Richmond, Virginia.
But you were confident, weren't you, Nick?
Because they gave me all the confidence. They were like, "You're the best DJ in the world." And I was terrible, Lauren. But they gave me that extra oomph to continue to make it, like, because I felt really good. I felt like, hey, this is great. I love this. My friends love this. I'm good at this. And I just... Yeah. Until I actually got good.
Wow, very cool, very cool. So you went to New York, you decided to, what was it that made you decide, obviously you had family there, so I'm guessing that was a smoother transition, but what made you decide to go ahead, go back to New York and go to school there?
Well, it's just, I always visit my lovely aunt, my Aunt Grace. You know, she's always supported all my endeavors, so I told her, "Hey, Aunt Grace, can I come crash with you a little while? I want to go take these classes." She's like, "Okay." So, yeah, I just, you know, cool. I stayed there a little bit longer. I slept on her couch, and I actually took some classes while I was there.
Go Aunt Grace. You gotta love Aunt Grace's of the world. They're so full of grace with us as we figure out our journey.
Totally, right?
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, that helps a lot. A lot of times I've heard it opposite, that, you know, you've had so much opposition when you're trying to determine when you're trying to figure out and determining what you want to do. Just helps to have that encouragement along the way. We really so badly need it, even at different points in the journey when you feel like you've gotten a handle on certain things, you know.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, you got to tell me a story about the pink wig. Like,
okay.
I mean, you've probably told me this years ago, but I would love for our group to really know where that came from and how that happened.
Yeah, so 1 year, you know, it was just actually the transition. So I used to be more of an international, like, house DJ, like house music, electronic, which is really in my soul. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I started a transition where I actually, you know, I started to make it more of a career. I needed to make money because I started thinking about Pomalki, and I needed to invest in it. So I started playing more open format styles of music. And during that time, as the transition started to grow, it was Halloween. And I always loved anime, and I decided one day, I want to be anime for Halloween this year. So I drew big eyes on my face, and I got a long pink wig, and I wore this little sailor costume.
Oh, fun. You're like a mix between Sailor Moon and Sakura from...
Yeah, something like that. I did my own thing, and I was like, and I went and I DJed this college party, and it was at, I believe it was at Alden Shabin. And that night, like, I rocked. Everybody was, like, dancing. It was really fun. It was great. And then all of a sudden, I saw all over my social media, all over Facebook, I'm getting texts, hey, did you hear that pink hair DJ? That pink hair DJ was awesome. Everything pink hair, pink hair, pink hair. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this pink hair thing a little bit more.
Wow. So
it just became a part of my brand, and it really helped people recognize me. And it's fun, you know, I love to dress up. So it just really made sense. And it helped me really get to where I am today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's almost her own person. I mean, DJ Nicola is certainly her own brand. It's kind of like, you know, Beyonce had Sasha Fierce, you know, that's your DJ Nicola, right?
Yeah. I sometimes talk about her, you know, as she was another person as well. Yeah. It is totally a different persona.
Yeah. So how did that impact you from a business standpoint or a branding standpoint? Or did you realize at that point, what changed for you? Or was there a change? Because you already were doing a lot of international work, you know?
Well, that was a better, more comfortable transition, because I was selling out. I was selling out to make money, but I was doing it as someone else. So whenever I actually play the music, you know, that I love, that's in my heart, I just go as me. And there's been some gigs, like, usually I used to do at Fig and Olive, I used to do some other, like, loungy styles of gigs. I just did this gig in Rome where I was able to play the music that I really like. So I don't need to wear the wig when that happens. But I was able to separate the brands I can comfortably sell out as another person.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I didn't even connect that for you, Nick, because I know sometimes you showed up with the wig, sometimes you didn't, and I didn't connect that. That was the difference for you.
Yep.
How cool is that? So you still can stay, you still stay true to Nicole Gallup. So when you go as DJ, are you going as DJ Nicola when you go internationally still without the wig, or you get to play electronic?
It depends. Like, this last gig that I did out there was actually a political event, and they requested I didn't wear it, but it was okay because it was actually good music that I like to play. I mean,
yeah.
But you know, it just depends what the client wants. If the client wants Nicola, they'll get Nicola. If they want Nicole Gallup, which doesn't happen as often, they'll get Nicole Gallup.
Yeah. Very cool. So how did you transition to becoming an international DJ from being in DJ school and graduating, you know, in New York? How did that, or did you graduate all of that? How did that happen?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, my career originally was cybersecurity, and I was working at the Pentagon, I was working at DOJ, I was working at all these different places. And I was moonlighting as a DJ at doing electronic music. So I was able to really focus on the electronic music because I had, you know, another source of income.
Right.
But there was times, like, in between contracts and between jobs, I would go to Europe just because I had spent already so much time in Germany. I had friends there, and I would spend, when I spent a whole summer in Ibiza, and totally just went there with CDs. That was the thing at the time. I was handing CDs out to everybody. I was just talking to people in my broken Spanish. I was trying to just...
Did you find, like, the town square or something? And where did you hand them out from?
Anywhere, like the bars, the clubs, everywhere.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
Where I got my first international client, which was the Swiss soccer team, AS Calcio. And they were amazing. They would bring me out every summer and every winter. Like, every summer to Ibiza and every winter to Switzerland to DJ for them. And through that, I was able to make even more clients and play in nightclubs. And I produced a record with my friend Rex Riot, and it was all electronic music. And that helped even more. And it was really actually getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Until this Polanki concept was born. And then I kind of put it all to a halt.
Gotcha. So, Polanki. Now, okay, well, you know what? I want to get into Polanki, but I know that we're going to be there probably for a while. I'm curious with your, like, how busy you are, because you have great friendships. And I think there are a lot of people that support you and you support them. So how do you find that balance between being booked out, you know, and also being able to somehow have a quote unquote, you know, personal life?
Well, my friends are very... they're very understanding. It's like, it's been unfortunate. There's been some people that have had to come and go in my life because sometimes I'm just not available. And I can understand that, but the people that are really close to me have been there for a long time. And they understand my schedule, and they know it's not personal, and they're always there when I come back.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's great. And it's, you know, it's hard. It's really hard when you're this busy to have friends, to have a relationship, to really do much of anything. But if you have the right people around you, you know, they'll support your endeavors. And I've been very lucky that I've had, you know, the best people around me the entire time.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I mean, those are the hard calls, I think, in pursuing your passion and living, living without regret, you know, living without abandon in all areas of life as you can, you know, with, and just really following what you were molded to do. You know, it's like, you're probably a whole, you feel different, right? How do you feel when you're behind the turntables?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, it just depends on the gig. Most of the time, I'm pretty confident because I'm like really, you know, I've been doing this almost 11 years now. So it's like you're sitting behind a big blank piece of paper and you're about to start painting all sorts of great stuff. And it's stuff that you've been, you know, painting for 10 years. So you're really comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I feel really good. I feel really good.
That's cool. That's cool.
Hey everyone, hope you've been enjoying this episode of I Did It My Way. I'm Lauren Hines, your hostess. And at this point, we wanted to encourage you all to let us know if you have a business or you have a project that you're pushing forward. We would love to welcome you as a sponsor for I Did It My Way. In addition, we're here in the local Georgia area, so we have other opportunities if you are interested in being able to expand your business here in Atlanta, the Metro Atlanta area, or if you are local to here. We want to encourage you to reach out and find out some opportunities available through the I Did It My Way sponsorship program, as well as some on-the-ground activities that we do through Atlanta Wedding and Event Professionals Network throughout the year. We have dozens of opportunities for you to be able to partner with us for more than simply the podcast, which of course will reach our audience, but also, of course, if you want more live on the ground visibility as well, in the more high touch capacity, we're happy to be able to introduce some of those opportunities to you too. More so, we just love partnering with other vibrant entrepreneurs who are creating their stories every single day. And so help us along our journey, and we'll help you along yours as you consider partnering with us for I Did It My Way as a sponsor and beyond. If you want to reach out to us, you can contact me, Lauren Hines. You can reach out at info@atlantawep.com, or you can reach out to us by phone at 1-800-316-7816. And we look forward to hearing from you soon. Enjoy the rest of your journey, and we hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. Thanks for checking it out.
So now you came back, Palenque. That's kind of where we came into place. You had already, where we met, but you had already been doing a lot of the work for it. So can you tell me a little bit about, first off, what Palenque is for everyone listening, and how that came about for you?
Sure. What Palenque is right now, it's a booking agency that focuses on niche entertainment for corporate clients. And we basically make dreams come true. Whatever you can imagine, we make happen through performances, music, and entertainment. And we do it well. So this all came about because throughout my career as a freelance DJ, I really lived through some tough experiences trying to manage myself and then later being managed by an entity like a booking agency. And I noticed a lot of my friends having the same problems. Mm-hmm. And I got really passionate about fixing those problems. And that's just things like managing your day-to-day, making sure you get your paychecks, making sure they come on time, if at all, making sure you price yourself the right way, and just still being able to focus on your art. So I, you know, decided, hey, technology can help solve all of that. So I created a really great platform that allowed people to do all of that, and entertainers to manage their stuff day to day, and allow the event planners to find them and book them. Mm-hmm. And you know, the key being transparency, the key being stabilizing the entertainer, and giving a really easy platform for the event planners to find and book quality talent.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I think when I hear you talk about that, that was the difference, the transparency. A lot of the other sites that you can use to book gigs, to be quite honest, are not as transparent, you know, and you don't really know the level of the DJ or all of that. So how was that determining factor of how you were going to distinguish yourself made? Because you knew you were coming into an online platform. I think that's the big thing a lot of our professionals are always thinking about. What is my wow factor?
character? What is my distinguishing mark? What did you determine in Palenque? How did you determine that that was going to be, you know, that point for you?
It's basically, it ended up becoming more of like personal relationships, being able to personally vet these people and assign them with a ranking based on their performance, their professionalism, and their service level. And by doing that, we're able to comfortably assess them a pay grade and then pass that on to the event planners and have it all be transparent. And it started working out pretty well.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So now I know Palenque has come a long way from the initial days of Palenque. Do you mind sharing with the group a little bit about the foundation of what Palenque began as and how that journey has been up until this point in the last few years, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's always started with this whole concept of using technology to help solve a lot of problems. And that's what I've been very focused on and continually investing in and, and you know, teaming up and partnering up with people. However, there came a point where I started to realize that we, you know, I can't afford to continue to invest in this, and we're just not making enough money to, because technology is expensive.
Yeah.
Really expensive. You got developers that are $150 an hour. You got projects that cost $75,000 to do something minimal.
Yep.
With technology, you have to continually update it to help, you know, your user.
Stay relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, without that constant support, like without a full-time tech team, it's really hard to continue to mold the product and what it needs to be and how it's going to suit your market. So there came a time where I had to make a decision that, am I going to continue to dump my entire DJ savings, my entire profit from Palenque into this? Or, you know, I need to find an investor that is actually believes in us, that's going to hold our vision clear, or I need to drop it. And the thing that really made me make a decision was I found an investor that was actually going to give us the money and the support we needed to continue to invest in tech, but they were going to completely change our vision and not support the entertainer as I wanted to. So there I decided to make the decision to drop the tech. Mm-hmm. And it was either drop the tech or close the company. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I've built a great brand. I've helped a lot of artists. I've helped a lot of event planners. I'm just going to continue to do this as a sole entity, as an agency, and just continue with it. At least my vision is there, and we're still doing exactly what we're doing, except now it's people behind the tech instead of tech behind the tech.
For sure.
And ever since I did that, we have been skyrocketing, and I'm now even start pocketing money away so I can eventually get back to the tech and maybe, you know, have our own tech team in the future. So I'm just going to continue on that path because that's, you know, the universe is telling me this is what you're supposed to do right now, because we are really, really, really successful now.
Yeah, everything's coming together. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like that path that we take as an entrepreneur. We set out, we create our business plan, and we're doing all the right things. You know, it's just, when it comes to the end of the day, it costs money to end business. It takes money to make a business and to run a business. And it's very easily can become a whole money pit where more and more is going into, but we don't see the results, especially when someone like you or me, like we have these grand ideas that technology, when you match these ideas next to the technology, it's like, oh, I need a couple $100,000 for this right now. You know, it's one of those things, but it's exciting to hear that through that journey, because I know how important it is for you to build the baby the way it's supposed to be, you know, built, and that you've gotten yourself to the point where it's still spitting off cash flow to be able to hopefully put back into what you want to do, you know. Exactly. Was it very hard for you at that point to kind of have to make that choice, or what was that like?
Yeah, it was really hard. I had a team of 5 people. I had to let them all go. I had, you know, I didn't make that decision overnight. I pretty much had to take like a month of really, really soul searching and trying to make the best decision, you know, not only, you know, for me, but for the people that have come on board with me for this process. It was difficult. It was a really, really tough time. But, you know, that's the thing about entrepreneurship is that that's why not everybody does this, because these times are not easy, and it takes a really, you know, special type of character and experience and personality to really be able to get through these times. Okay.
For sure. For sure. Gosh, for sure. For sure. So, what is it that drives you, Nick? I mean, what is it that keeps you going through those kind of moments like that?
The feeling that you're making a difference. That's the whole reason why I went into this. I just really became passionate just from my own experience. I don't want people to go through hardships, you know, as a creative professional. You know, when you're talented, you're ambitious, you're, you know, you deserve a career, a stable career, just like anybody else in this world, like the accountants and the lawyers of the world. And I already saw that we're starting to make that difference, and people are really happy. And those smiling faces, those words of praise, not just from the entertainer standpoint, but also the event planner standpoint now too, is that, you know, we're making, you know, might not be a huge difference right now, but we're making a little bit of a difference. And that right there really keeps me going.
Do you want to highlight some of the things that you're working on with some of the projects, some of the DJs that you have that are part of Palanki? I would love to hear. And if there's anyone that, you know, you think would resound well with some of the groups, since we are an international audience here listening in.
Yeah. Well, we're not just DJs. We're all sorts of different types of talent.
Cool. So,
but we do have, we just brought on DJ Inferno, who's Madonna's DJ for her Sticky Sweet tour. And he is an amazing DJ, remixer, producer. So I'm really excited to be working with him in some corporate events. We've also started working with Rare Essence, who are next to Chuck Brown. They're the founders of GoGo. So right after Chuck Brown came to GoGo, they actually added all their congos and their new sound, and they're like pretty much like DC staples and legends. And they're doing an event with us at the IPW, the Tourism Conference in DC, with Destination DC. They're doing a brunch session with us.
Fun. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, we've got a couple of really awesome aerial violinists that's doing a benefit for the Children's Inn Hospital on April 7th. We've got these really cool stormtrooper girls that are coming in as ambience that are handing out bracelets that they basically are dressed really space age. We got some really cool stuff. Yeah, also, I mean, from all over the spectrum, we got mermaids. I mean, that's one of my favorite things, to throw them in pools and have.
Oh man, my daughter would love that. Can she come for that event?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
How cool is that? You know, it's funny. I think when people look at maybe on the social media side of what you do, and sometimes we look at the social media side of things that we're doing, and we're like, this is work. You know, you're probably thinking, this is my work. This is cool work. But then, you know, there's that whole glacier effect, like what's underneath that people aren't seeing, that kind of allows for these fun moments. But it's got to be rewarding for you to be able to do these kind of cool things.
Yeah, I mean, I think what really helps me see it too is like coming from a corporate background, like working in like the basement of the Pentagon, or working at, you know, on the 20th floor of the Federal Reserve's building in Richmond, Virginia, like all these different things. I mean, that was great, but it was such a different life. And every time I start thinking, oh gosh, this is so much work, it's starting to get to be overwhelming. This is crazy. I think back to what my life could have been and how I wasn't suited for that. I wasn't suited for people. I wasn't suited for 9 to 5 and, you know, shoving papers, you know, I'm really blessed to be able to do this kind of crazy stuff. We're already nationwide. We're already doing some events in other cities, but I want to start bringing a bigger presence in some other cities like New York and San Francisco. That's where we've got already a nice presence already, but I really want it to be. DC is great. We got DC is going really strong, but I want it to be like this in New York and in San Francisco and also internationally. So at the end of this year, we should be pretty present in those other cities. And starting next year, we're going to start some international expansion.
Oh, very fun. Very fun. Well, you let me know. I'm based in Atlanta. So you let me know if there's anything that we can be sending your way, because we've got some fire DJs that do a lot here internationally as well. And of course, domestically. So we would love to kind of have you have more of Palanki here. And I know our creatives, really any creative, would benefit from being part of the Palanki network. So
cool. Thank you. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we close out, do you have any kind of tidbits that you'd like to be able to share with the fellow entrepreneurs out there who are balancing the both the left side and the right side of the brain, even though they may be more one way or the other? Any advice for those creative entrepreneurs who are just trying to make it one more day, you know, in business?
Yeah, like so, this is something that I've heard from day one, but it's always been so hard for me to follow, and it's probably going to be hard for other entrepreneurs to follow, because as an entrepreneur, your head is full of all sorts of ideas and great things and things you want to do and things you want to go after, but you got to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. When you have a business concept, a business idea, just focus on the super basic parts and add a little by little as you go on. It's going to make your life so much easier, and you're going to realize that all this other stuff that you're doing, that you're working on, is just slowing you down from your actual concept.
Wow. Gosh, that's good. That's really good. I'll let you know when I've figured that out.
I just started figuring it out like 5 years into being an entrepreneur. And like, gosh, why couldn't I just do this before?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, on our jobs, we're paid to focus on the task at hand, and sometimes we become great employees doing it, although we're saying, you know, I really am not supposed to be here long-term. This is a means to an end.
Yeah.
But gosh, you can learn something from the ability to focus in and become awesome in this segment and kind of add on other ones. What do you do with the other ideas?
I mean, not to throw them out, but just like, you know, put them in a Trello list, put them in a notebook, put them somewhere where you can come back to them when you're ready.
Yeah.
But you can't do it all at once.
Yeah, for sure. Trello is awesome, by the way, guys. That's like a project management software you can use with teams and collaborations. Perfect. It really is a great option because you can just put everything there, organize it so it's there when you're ready to conquer that aspect of business. Very cool. So, Nicole, how can people connect with you? You know, if they want to be able to be part of Palanki, or they just want to be able to talk to Nicole Gallup or your organization, what should they do?
They can email me at djnicola@palanki.com. I mean, I'm all over the web. I mean, I'm at djnicola.com as well. My DJ personality is there. If they want to be a part of Palanki, if you've got a talent to offer, we'd love to hear from you. You can go straight to palanki.com and fill out a form, and we'll get in touch with you about the next steps. But yeah, I mean, I'm all over Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. If you reach out to me, my phone is like right here all the time, so I'll respond right back.
Yeah, you're quick with the response to it, because yeah. You know, people use busyness as a reason why they can't respond to people. But I was like, no, DJ Nicola is pretty quick, and if she can't, she's gonna staff someone who can. So if you guys are looking for the spelling on Nicola or Palanki is P-E-L-O-N-K-E-Y, and Nicola, DJ Nicola, is DJ, of course, N-E-E-K-O-L-A. I just want to thank you, Nicole, for being with us. It feels weird calling you Nicole. Thank you for being on I Did It My Way today, and I think everyone can just be able to be happy to hear just another story of someone, or feel encouraged to hear another story of someone who decided that she was going to do it her way and the way that she was created to do things. And we hope that, Nicole, you will continue to update us and keep us posted with all great things that are coming. Nicole, I'm on your mailing list, of course. And I thank you guys all for listening today. If you want to be able to see some more notes or reference any of the things that Nicole talked about in the call, just look below in the show notes. And if you have any questions for Nicole, just connect with us. You know, you can reach me. I'm Lauren at AtlantaWEP.com. And let us know if there's anything that we can reach out to Nicole for, if you heard something that you want to be part of. But thanks you all for listening again. And thank you so much, Nick, for being part of I Did It My Way today.
Thanks for having me, Laura. It's good to see you.
Thank you for being a part of the magic with I Did It My Way. Visit us at www.atlantawep.com.